You're turning to Matthew 17, I was just thinking of this question: have you ever been frustrated by how weak something was? Maybe you were intending for something just to have the necessary strength to do a job or to be involved in something, and it was just weak. I remember a couple of, thank you, Timothy. Turn my mic on. There we go. I remember a few different jobs maybe I was doing at home, and I have the drill, and I'd be working on it, and all of a sudden that drill just starts to run out of battery, and it bothers you. I've driven an old truck up the hill before wondering, does this have enough power to get up the hill? You know, it's even worse than that sometimes is if you ever have to take a shower, and a shower that has really low water pressure. You know, we've all been in those situations. Even today, I was in a situation where, we'll just say it was a long day. But anyways, with my car, the battery was dying, and I had to get my car jumped today. You know, it's frustrating when you're, for me, I wasn't turning the key. I was pushing the little button. You push the button in, and it's just not strong enough to turn over. We've all been in different situations like that, but it can be frustrating when we think something should have the necessary power to get this done, but it's just not working. You know, sometimes we get frustrated by tools or by cars or things like that. But, you know, even more frustrating sometimes is when we think we should have the necessary power to get something done. Maybe just the physical strength. Maybe just the energy. Maybe it's something just something else. Maybe a strength to get a job done, and we're looking for that extra little bit of strength, and we're frustrated when we don't have it. You know, as I look in Matthew 17, I see maybe a little bit different idea of somebody not having enough power to get something done was the disciples not having enough power in their prayer life to see God do a miracle. They come to this point, we'll look in our passage in just a minute, where this father brings his son to the disciples, and he was obviously possessed by a demon, and they're not able to cast him out. And they go to the Lord and said, Lord, why couldn't we cast him out? Lord, what was the problem? Lord, where was the necessary power to get this done? If you're there in Matthew 17, look with me in verse number 14. And the Bible says, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. If you think just of the Gospels, of course, Jesus and the disciples have been traveling throughout the area for years at this point. They've probably been there maybe halfway through Jesus' earthly ministry, if not further on into Jesus' ministry. And they've been performing miracles. They're seeing people healed. They're seeing the blind receive their sight. They're seeing the lame being able to walk again. They're seeing answers to prayer. They just were at the Mount of Transfiguration where Jesus was transfigured before them. And they got to witness all of these miracles. Yet here they were with this young man that was possessed by a demon, and they could not cast him out. You know, over the past few years, I've heard the question, or I've maybe heard the testimony sometimes, that, you know, prayer maybe just doesn't work. I've seen recently even just maybe people in my generation kind of throw out the phrase that, you know, they've tried God and they've tried prayer and they've tried the Bible, but you know what? They just don't see anything happen. And sometimes we can be overwhelmed maybe by a weak Christianity. Maybe by a prayer life that we don't see results. I know I've seen young people that have come to church and maybe they've grown up in church all of their life and they've left the church and they say, no, I tried God, I tried prayer, I tried reading the Bible, but you know what? I just found out it really didn't work. What do we do at that point? What do we do when we throw up our hands and we say, God, why aren't you answering prayer? Lord, where's the power that we thought you had? God, where's the power of prayer that we thought you said was there? You know, sometimes we could be maybe a little bit disillusioned. Sometimes we could think God should have answered that prayer, but what happened? And sometimes, even in this case, it's a result of some weak Christianity. You know, our world gets disillusioned or they get turned away from a Christianity that does not see God move. As Christians, we need to analyze our lives in a few ways that we'll look at tonight about how or why are we not seeing prayers answered. You know, I know our church has seen many prayers answered over the last few months and over the past few years. I know we've seen even recently God doing things and God moving and people being saved, and that's wonderful. But sometimes, maybe even in your own personal life, you're asking the question, God, why are my prayers not being answered? Lord, where's the power that you said is in prayer? And we think of the verses, ask and you shall receive. We think maybe of the quote, you know, prayer can do anything that God can do. Or prayer always works. And we look at those questions and sometimes we wonder, God, why isn't it working this time? And often there are many different answers. Sometimes God's answer to us is no. Sometimes God's answer to us is wait. But sometimes God isn't answering one of our prayers because of an inward problem with ourselves. You know, as I've studied this passage and prayed about it, I've thought that this world and this country have seen enough weak Christians. We've seen enough weak churches. What I mean by a weak church or a weak Christian is that somebody that comes to church and maybe they look the part and they come to church and they carry their Bible or they come and they sit in a sermon and they grow up in church, but they don't really see God do anything. There's a lot of churches out there like that. There's a lot of churches where people come and they open up the Bible and maybe they study a little bit, but they don't evangelize. They don't have prayer meetings. They don't see God do anything. They just come really for a quick Bible study and that's it. There's churches like that all over the country. And the world has seen enough weak churches, but has the world seen enough churches that really know how to see God answer prayer? As I go into this message tonight, I don't believe that our church is a church that maybe would be classified as a weak church. Like I said, we've seen God moving. We've seen God answer prayer recently. But sometimes in my own life, and maybe even in your own life, you go through periods of time where you're just wondering, God, are you even hearing my prayers? Because I'm not seeing answers. Well, we'll look at this story of the disciples, and what I want to see is a few points about some things that we can look at in our life. If we're wondering, God, why isn't my prayer life working? As we already read verse 14 and verse 15, what I see number one tonight is there's a moving situation. There's a situation that the disciples and that Jesus come upon and they see something that moves their heart, where they are moved with compassion. They see a real legitimate problem. Here is a young man that is possessed by a demon and it says he's often falling into the fire and he's often falling into the water. I don't know about you, but if somebody brought their son to me and said, hey, I have this son who is just not acting right. He's throwing himself in the fire. He's throwing himself in the water. He's not acting like a normal person and I don't know what to do. I don't know about you, but I would be instantly moved with compassion for that situation. I'd look and I'd think, no, this is a terrible, tragic situation. They really need an answer at this point. They really need something to work. And Lord, we really need you to do something. You know, all around us are people with real problems. All around us in our community and maybe at your workplace and in your schools and all around this world and all around this county and this community, there are people with real problems that move us to compassion. These problems are a result of a sin-cursed world filled with sinful people. You know, it's easy to look at a prayer list or to look at the news or to look at our community and see that there are moving situations all around us. And what do they require? They require the touch and hand of God. And that's why we pray. That's why we come tonight for a Wednesday night prayer meeting. That's why we should be praying every day, or at least we should be. It's because we are moved by maybe loved ones that are going through a difficulty. Maybe by a broken society. Maybe by the burdens of this church. They're moving our heart to pray. And so what do? We should really just be moved with compassion to start with prayer. I believe we're there. I believe our church does that. I believe we believe that you have that heart to pray. But just a little bit of a refresher as we go into maybe this period of vacation Bible school coming up and maybe some big outreach events like the July 4th outreach that we're going to do this year. Some of these things that maybe we're going to invite people to church is don't forget to have a burden for people with real problems. I was moved the other day. A lady called the church about Vacation Bible School. And she was asking, she said, I went online and I couldn't find the registration form. We hadn't put it up yet. And as she was talking to me, I said, oh, that's no problem. I can just get your information and I'll be glad to register you for VBS. And I thought that was going to be the end of the conversation. I thought, okay, well, great. I got her information. That's it. We're done. And we're good to go. And then she kept talking. And then for about 10 to 15 minutes, she really just shared her burden with me about her daughter. She said, you know, my daughter's getting ready to go into middle school. And she doesn't really have that many good influences around her. She said she's getting ready to go into middle school, and I'm not sure some of the decisions that she's going to make. She's already starting to be a little bit rebellious, and she's already starting to make some bad decisions. And this mom just poured out her heart for about 10 minutes, and I was quickly reminded that there is a community around us that has some broken and difficult and burdensome situations. And it was a good reminder to me that, Arthur, we don't do VBS so we can have a lot of fun here at church. We don't have Vacation Bible School and do all the decorations and do all the activities and spend all of this money just because it's going to be a good time, but because there are real people with real problems that need a real God to move in their life. And here in this story is this man that has this son. He says he's possessed with a demon and I don't know what to do with him. Will you help me? There's a community all around us that has situations that they don't know how to deal with them. And they need a church that can help them. And with that, we need to have a prayer life that sees answers. With that, we need to have a Christianity that sees God move, that is genuine, that is real, that is seeing the hand of God. And that's so, so important. First, I saw a real or a moving situation. But number two, I see a powerless disciple. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 16. The man said, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. You hear in the last few verses that we just read, we have some disciples that are moved with compassion towards this man. And they go to this young lad and they try to cast out this devil. They do what they can. I'm sure they are saying prayers. I'm sure they are calling out the name of Jesus Christ and the name of Jehovah God. But for some reason, they throw up their hands and they can't figure out why was this demon not cast out. You know, their hearts were in the right places. You know, most people would applaud them and say, well, they gave it their best. You know, they had a good heart and they tried to do what they could, but it just wasn't going to be enough. Have you ever been there? Maybe your heart's been in the right place. Maybe you really honestly felt like you were praying the right thing for God to move and for God to answer a certain need and for God to move in a certain situation, but you just didn't see results. I know I've been there. And oftentimes it's been because of my own failures. Oftentimes it's been because I've been like the disciples where I've been a person of unbelief. You know, while the world and maybe even some around us may applaud us and say, well, your heart's in the right place. We don't want to experience that failure again. Where we really believed and maybe thought that God was going to answer prayer, but something didn't happen. Where we really expected God to move. Or maybe we didn't fully expect God to move. And we didn't see the Lord answer. I believe the disciples were there. Their hearts were in the right place. But where was the power of God upon their lives? Well, Jesus tells us. He tells us in verse 17, he says, O faithless and perverse generation. You know, the first problem with the disciples' prayer life is that they had a lack of faith. Sometimes we don't see God answer our prayers because we don't have faith that God really is going to answer our prayers. Mark 11:24 says, "Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." James 1:6 says, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering." Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Those references to a prayer life is not just some, you know, positive thinking. Oh, if you just really believe you can, then it'll be out. It'll be okay. It'll work out. But is it that we really trust God and we really trust that God will move and that God will work? If we really believe the God of the Bible, that He will keep His promises, then we can see God answer prayer. Our theme this year is the just shall live by faith. It's forward by faith. That has to be true of our prayer life. Has to be that when we see the problems of a loved one, or we see maybe the difficulty of a health issue, or maybe we see the community around us and we go to God in prayer, it shouldn't be, "God, I'm not really expecting this, but if you would, it would be nice." Our prayer life should not be one of, "God, I'm going to ask you for this, but Lord, I don't really see it happening." Our prayer life should be of one of, "God, if you said that we could pray to you believing, and if this would be in your will, then Lord, I believe you're an answer." I don't know why the disciples lacked faith that day. Maybe their focus was on themselves. Maybe they thought, "I'm not big enough for this." Maybe their focus was maybe a little bit selfish. Maybe they had some pride. They wanted to be the one that casted out the demon that day. Maybe their focus was that they were intimidated. Maybe just by the situation. Maybe they were intimidated by the great need. Maybe they were intimidated by the demon that was possessing this young man. Or maybe they just thought it was too big a task. But Jesus said that they lacked faith. Does your prayer life lack faith? When you pray, do you really honestly believe that God is going to answer your prayer? And any group of people set against Him. Our God is bigger than maybe our culture, our society. Our God is bigger than maybe the drug and alcohol epidemic surrounding this community. Our God is bigger than sicknesses like cancer. Our God is bigger and our God is greater. So when we pray, pray believing in that big God. Because half-hearted, unbelieving prayers really accomplish nothing. But it's when we go to God in faith. These disciples lacked faith, but number two, they lacked purity. Look again in verse 17. Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation." That word for perverse, it means turned from the right path, opposed to God's purposes, or distorted. You know, Jesus says, "O faithless and perverse generation." I don't know necessarily that Jesus was talking to a specific disciple. Maybe He was talking to all the disciples. Maybe He was talking to this father. But as Jesus comes to this situation, He cries out, "O faithless and perverse generation." There was a problem with somebody's purity in the group that day. What I mean by purity is I mean that their heart was not right with God. There was a sin problem. You know, sometimes our prayers are hindered because we have a sin problem. Sometimes God doesn't answer my prayers, and I'm working. We don't see a powerful Christianity, and we maybe don't see God answer all the prayers that we wish. Saying God isn't hindered in His ability to hear your prayers. God isn't hindered in His ability to deliver. But there, and we're not concerned about getting that thing right with God. We just hold that sin in our life with no intentions or no desire to get right with the Lord, God will not hear our prayers. In 1 Peter 3, God commands husbands to treat their wives right. And He says that your prayers be not hindered. A direct correlation to our relationships. That if we are at sin, we have sin with somebody else, our prayers can be hindered. James 4:3 says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lusts." That means even sometimes in the moment of prayer, we are praying selfish, lustful, the sinful desire kind of prayers that God will not answer. Jesus comes to this situation, His heart is filled with compassion for this young man. And His disciples desire to see this demon cast out, but nothing happened. Jesus exclaims, faithless and perverse generation. It revealed their lack of faith, but it also revealed their lack of purity. Our sin hinders our prayers. Maybe the reason that you're lacking some of the power of God in your life is maybe you have some sin in your life. Maybe some bitterness. Maybe some struggle in a relationship. Maybe some odd or some anger against somebody. Maybe it's a pet sin of something like lust or covetousness. Maybe it's worldliness. Maybe it's pride. When we hold these things in our life and we refuse to get right with God, there's a barrier. There's a problem in our relationship with God. And sometimes we don't see our prayers answered because there's sin in our life. As we've looked at a moving situation and a powerless disciple, lastly we see a sobering lesson. If you'll look with me again in let's start in verse number 20. Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." The reality of our prayer life is that we are going to God because the situation is bigger than ourselves. Really, every day and every moment of the day, we should be depending upon the Lord. But often we take our prayer requests, we take maybe some of our needs or the needs of somebody else, and we go to God and we say, "God, I can't handle these on my own." We know these situations demand more than a weak, comfortable, and casual Christianity. They demand something more. What Jesus brings to the disciples is two things. He says there's two things that you are lacking that are causing you to be hindered from the power of God. He says prayer and fasting. That word for prayer has two ideas. It's a place of prayer and an earnestness of prayer. Let me ask you, do you have a place of prayer? You know what it means to have a place of prayer? Is it means that we don't just say half-hearted 30-second prayers throughout the day. It means that we don't just, you know, pray for our food and then pray for this real quick, but that we have a place where it's a place to dwell with God in His presence in prayer. Realize there are some situations that we face. There are some things that are big in our life and we're looking for the hand of God. Well, we better have a place of prayer if we intend to see God move. That means we better learn what it means to really spend time in prayer with God each day. Points out to them, hey, you can't cast out this demon but by prayer and fasting. The power of God won't be upon your life like it could be if you don't have a place of prayer and an earnestness of prayer. As we look at our life and maybe we're looking for the power of God to witness, maybe we're looking for the power of God to answer prayers, maybe we're looking for the power of God in a situation, maybe in our family or just in our community, in our area, and we're looking for God to do something. Do you have a place of prayer? Do you have a place where you spend real, meaningful time in prayer? That idea of prayer, that verse is a prolonged, fervent time of prayer, and that what was needed. What Jesus was pointing out in their life was that these disciples needed to get real and serious about their prayer life. And that's what we need to do in order to continue seeing God move like we have. Think of the example of Jesus. How often does it say in the Gospels, and Jesus departed into a mountain to pray? He had his place of prayer. He had the time where he went to God the Father and he depended solely upon him. As our church, we need to have a place of prayer. This place needs to be a place of prayer, and I praise God that it is. But in your own personal life, if you're looking for God to answer your prayers, if you're looking for the power of God to be a witness, you've got to have a place of prayer. Not only a place of prayer, but it was also fasting. This fasting is a voluntary decision to say no to self because we are desperate for God. When Jesus went to the disciples and said, "This kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting, but by a serious prayer life and by a serious Christian life." You know, when you go to a time of fasting, it is a time where you make a decision that God and your relationship with God, and especially your prayer life, is more important than something like food. Is more important than whatever you are fasting for. You're saying, "God, I'm going to highlight this need in my life by going, maybe cutting off some food, maybe by cutting off some entertainment, maybe it's by cutting off some sleep or something like that," and saying, "God, I'm going to devote that time to praying and spending time with you." That's important. You know what that shows in your life? Is that you are serious about your relationship with God. The disciples needed a seriousness in their heart and life where they were dying to self to be closer to God. So do I. I need that same heart. I need that same spirit that God was telling the disciples they needed. Fasting for an answer to prayer is serious. It's being willing to say no to self, no to pleasure, no to sin, no to some basic necessities of life, to say, "Yes, God, I am going to spend some more serious, fervent, and precious time with you." You know, here were the disciples, and they say, "God, why couldn't we cast this young man in? Why couldn't we cast this demon out? Lord, where was the power that we were expecting? God, I was asking for this to happen." Maybe the disciple looked and said, "Jesus, I cast out this demon in your name, and why didn't anything happen?" Jesus really points out four things that were lacking. It says, "O faithless generation, their faith was lacking. O perverse generation, having a heart, right heart with God was lacking." And he says, "This kind goeth not out by prayer." Their place of earnest prayer was lacking. And fasting. Their time of a serious devotion and focus on God was lacking. You know, sometimes we view God like He's just that magic genie out there. And, "Oh Lord, if I just call on you in these 30 seconds, Lord, why didn't you answer? God, come on, I prayed for the first time this last month and asking you to take care of this, and why didn't it happen?" Sometimes you say, "Lord, I go to church, or I read my Bible, or God, I do some of these things, but why aren't you answering my prayers? God, come on, my heart's right in this. Lord, I have a good desire. I want to do the right thing. But God, why am I not seeing the power of God?" Well, sometimes it's because we lack faith. Sometimes we look at a situation and we say, "Oh, Lord, I'm going to pray, but I don't really know if that's going to happen." Sometimes we just lack righteousness in our own life. There's some sin that God's saying, "Hey, you need to get that right." You want the power of God in your prayer life? You want the power of God in your witness? You want the power of God in your ministry and whatever you're doing in your life? Then you need to get some of these sins out of your life if you really want to see God move. And you say, "God, why is nothing happening?" And God says, "You need to get back to a place of prayer." You say, "You used to spend more time in prayer with me. You used to be really serious about calling on the name of God. Not just for a few minutes a day, but for a specific set out time a day where you were passionate in seeking after me. But you don't have that anymore. That's why you're not seeing the power of God." God's saying, "You know what? I know this is a big situation. It's a big, big ask. And you know what? These would be some serious commitment to God. Maybe you're just half in and half out sometimes. Maybe you're devoted to coming to church, but God's pointing out another area of your life and saying, you know, you need to be more passionate and devoted to me in this area. Maybe you really do need to actually do a fast. Spend a couple of days fasting from food and praying to God about a certain situation. And sometimes we look at this world, or we look maybe at different churches, or maybe we look at our own lives, saying, God, I just don't see the power. Lord, I don't see anything happening. Why is something not going on? And God would point out one of these situations in our lives. So you want to see the power of God? You want to see somebody get saved? You want to see God bring somebody back to you? You want to see a relationship reconciled? You want to see some answers to prayer? You want to see God do something amazing? Make sure you have faith. Make sure you're right with God. Make sure you have a time of real earnest prayer. And make sure that you're serious about your relationship to God. Sometimes that requires some fasting. You know, we pray for real life situations. We look at some things and they move our hearts. We pray for souls to be saved. We, you know, pray for a VBS, for young people to come to the church and to hear the gospel. We pray for maybe just different needs in our lives. But do we do it with the power of God? Or we do it and say, God, I prayed, but why isn't it happening? You know, we can pray with the power of God. We can do it. God's Word says it. Those aren't just empty phrases. They're not just empty verses that don't really mean something. No, God gave us real, concrete promises in His Word. But sometimes it demands some things in our life to get right before we see answers to prayer. You know, like I said today, the Lord just really worked on my heart. As I studied and as I read these verses, whew, God pointed out that. Said, yeah, you need that. Yeah, Arthur, you need to get that right. Yeah, Arthur, you need to spend some more time in prayer here. Lord really challenged me. And I pray that as you read these verses, as you looked at maybe a powerless disciple, maybe God's working in your life and saying, you want the power of God in your prayer life, or you want the power of God in this situation and in this aspect of your life, some things that you need to get right. We'll pray that the Lord will help you to do so. Let's pray tonight.